Midnight Town is the latest collection from Tom French. It's his third collection from this Kilkenny-born but now Meath-based poet, and Tom is with me in studio this evening. I want to start by to get you to read one of the poems in the collection, Tom, which is called Audite Omnes. But maybe you'd give us a little bit of the background to the characters involved in this poem first.
Well, as much as I know about it is that Seachnill is reputed to be St. Patrick's nephew, and the poem deals with the composition of the first Latin hymn on the island of Ireland. And Seachnill is operating under a certain amount of time pressure, and he's been promising this thing to Patrick, and Patrick says, if you're going to do it, you better do it shortly.
And Audite Omnes is everybody listen, please, I guess it would translate something
well,
close to that.
Hear, O mighty one, and then he's going to sing all these praises.
Right, okay. Here we have it then, Tom French with his own poem, Audite Omnes.
The fair at Dunshachlin was in full swing as Seachnill wrestled with his audite omnes. So he sent word to keep it down or knock it off, because the racket was hampering composition. But the message went unheeded, so Seachnill, raising his hands to heaven, upped the ante, whereupon 13 chariots were swallowed whole, and the rest perished in the lake of Lagor. Lake current rained in, mares, colts, stallions, flesh strained at the bit against clay for air, and bridles and belly bands were turned to flotsam. Then Seachnill settled, took the goose pen again in his trembling hand, and beautiful verses occurred to him in that silence of drowned horses.
Tom French reading the poem Audite Omnes from his new collection Midnight's Town. All very well if you're a character like Seachnill and you can raise your hands up to the heavens and have silence to compose your poems. Do you ever feel yourself under that type of time pressure and under that type of interference that Seachnill find himself when you're composing your own poems, Tom?
Well, I've often felt the need to raise my hands, but I don't think I've ever had the same result. I don't think so, no. I mean, I think the feeling I have 3 books into it really is that I'm still serving a long apprenticeship. So it will be some time before I do get around to raising my hands, really.
And certainly, as you say, getting the response of the whole place going silent in the way that Seachnill manages
it. It's not going to happen, really.
You work in the library services in County Meath, and specifically you mentioned to me in the local history section of the library. How has that informed your poetry in general? I guess it's specifically informed the one we just heard.
Well, I suppose the great thing about working in an area like that in a public library service is that you are not only exposed to all of these obscure sources relating to a particular area of the county or the country, in particular one county, but you also get to meet an awful lot of people who are carrying around vast, fascinating information about small areas, parishes and townlands. So I suppose it informs it in every way, really.
The collection itself opens with a poem on the birth of James Henry French, born on the 20th of November 2003. What is your relationship with James Henry French?
Well, James Henry is my second born, as I like to call him. But there is another James French further on in the book, who is the man who sells the horse down in West Cork in 1948.
And he would be an ancestor then.
So he's James's great-grandfather.
Your own grandfather.
Yeah.
So we have the birth of James early on there. And one of the several poems in the collection, in fact, deal with your mother and her cancer. What was the story around that, and how difficult was it to transfer those situations into poems?
Well, it's as difficult to transfer something like that into a poem as it is to write a poem, really. No harder or no easier. I mean, I think it's the thing I've learned in the process of doing it is that everything is susceptible, really, whether it's life or death or birth or all of those things.
But when you're dealing with something very personal and very much part of your family life, to write about a birth, such a celebratory thing, it seems that that might be something that is an easier thing to write about. But you're saying it's just as difficult to write about the positive?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think those poems, The Verge of Tears, those ones in the middle of the book, I think they...
They're the ones that deal with your mother's
death. Yeah, I think they... celebrate the death as well, really.
And it is that was the idea behind it, to sing a celebration, was it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think you ever set out with a particular idea of what I'm going to do, but you find yourself doing something and afterwards you may have a clearer idea of what you've done, really.
Will you read for me the poem Reading to My Father, which is on page 52 of the book? I don't know if what you want to tell me before you read this, or would you rather read it first and we can discuss it after the event?
Okay, well, it's a true setting, really. I mean, it gives the geography of it as on the Mount Rath Road, a stone's throw from the Wishing Tree, and I am reading to my father, and the poem says what I am reading to my father. Reading to my father. Once, and only once, I read to him. In a car pulled over on the hard shoulder, on the Mount Rath Road, a stone's throw from the Wishing Tree. Every word of my brother's diary, his suicide note, the phrases in Dutch that meant, I will soon be dead, those marginal doodles, little Golgothas, tiny crosses on stones. While he smoked and couldn't not hear, locked in the car, I read to that last page, because this would be our last time together. Neither of us knew what would happen next. A son reads to his father. The world ends. The son is driving. They are going nowhere.
Tom French reading his poem, Reading to My Father, from his latest collection, Midnight's Town. When you write a poem like that, Tom, or indeed some of the other poems which deal with, you know, difficult events in your own life and in your family's life, does that help explain those events to you, or is that part of what writing the poem is about at all for you?
I suppose it has to help in some way. But it's not an explanation really as much as, I mean, primarily you're practicing a craft really and an art. And if that's the subject matter, that's the subject matter really.
Do you have a choice on the subject matter? I mean, are there some topics that would come up that you might think about writing about and you would say, no, I'm actually not going to write about that? Have you done that in the past, or does it just keep coming back and knocking at the door until you write it down?
Well, I suppose it does, but I mean, I am willing to give anything a go if I can get a poem out of it.
Nothing is off bands?
I don't think so.
So the poetry must always be served?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if it's going to be any good.
Do you have to consider the feelings of other family members, or do you have to put that to the one side?
Well, I mean, you can't be callous. You have to live in the world. Mm. But you are working to a certain master as well, yeah.
Will you finish up by reading for us, Tom, maybe the title poem from the collection, Midnight's Town? And why did you choose this as the title poem?
Well, it came from looking through the calendar of the Gormanston Register that has all sorts of fascinating things in it. But it transpires that the townland that I live in County Meath, over towards the coast, Minnistown, has 16 versions of its name in the calendar of the Gormanston Register. And one of those happens to be Midnight's Town. So it kind of reflects, I think, a little bit of the contents.
It's on page 28, I think you're searching for that there.
The contents of the thing itself, of the book itself, really, kind of halfway between A Dark Night and A Fine Day.
Here we have it, Midnight's Town.
And apart from anything else, it is a straight transfer of gifts between myself and my neighbour. He did give me a tree and I did give him a bootleg of this CD. Midnight's Town. In exchange for the gift of a cherry tree, I drop next door a bootleg of Chant Juif. Striking out west for the back door, we are stopped, as by the sea, by a ploughed field. Trying not to fall, I find myself whistling the air of track 4, the tight rope walker's prayer. Overnight, our one big tree came to ground. We went the night without hearing a sound. Stormy for days. Next door's collie's hoarse from letting the east wind know who's boss. Who is the man who waves as if he knows us, when it's only the dog he walks we recognize? April the 4th, our cherry tree looks to be in full bloom. I hear the Kaddish issue faintly from their sunroom.
Tom, Tom French with the title poem from his new collection, Midnight's Town, which is published by Gallery Press.